God's sufficiency. I'm going to tell you what His sufficiency means and what it doesn't mean. God came to me through somebody else one time, and how many knows that prophetic words don't always bring a smile to your face? And this lady came to me, she loved the Lord like I don't know what, and she said, "When are you going to quit trying to do it? When are you going to quit trying so hard and let God do it?" Now, that's one way about God. His sufficient ways, we don't kick against the pricks. We do as He leads and His guide. He guides. But we've got to be very careful not to say, "Okay, God, you've got this that you want to get done, do it." And we're waiting on God to do it. I tell you what's happening today. Right now, God is waiting on each one of us to take that first step. And He's going to meet us right there where we need Him at. And He's going to help bring it to pass, but He's not going to do everything. He's not going to do it. I'm facing that myself right now. Now, around 12 o'clock today, I'm going to be very honest with you. Since in the last 3 weeks, I have really... Have you ever felt like you had a dark cloud hanging over you? And you felt like you needed to be real careful in what you did because you just didn't know whether God's protection was there or not? You really don't step out and go into new things because you feel that dark cloud. For several weeks now, I've had a dark cloud over me. And I was there, and I was fixing to go into a new area. I was fixing to test God's sufficiency. See, Nancy got a mandate a couple of years ago. And that mandate was to fill the storehouses. Okay? And God, it was a mandate from God. It wasn't a suggestion from God. It was a mandate from God, fill the storehouses. Well, question was, how much have I been doing toward filling the storehouses? And God convicted me on that. It's been January 1st, be 2 years since that came forth. And I can see it in Nancy when she speaks at night in several of the conferences. I can see the urgency because God told her to do that. God told her to spread that word. God's been speaking to you and to me as to how to go about doing it. And prior to now, I haven't done a whole lot. But I'm doing a lot over the next 3 months. Because here's the thing about it. If you go through that door and get the process started, God's going to meet you where you are. And He's going to guide, He's going to direct, He's going to empower, and He's going to give you ideas in your heart how to fill the storehouse up. I've got a desire, and my desire is to fill the storehouse up. But around 12 o'clock today, I told my wife, and I'm going to be honest with you. I said, this has been battled. A battle has been raging with that dark cloud. My wife had to go to mandatory State Department of Education meetings on Wednesday, which wouldn't put us in here on Wednesday. It's going to put us on Thursday. She has not been feeling good. I have not been feeling good. I had to call someone else, call for prayer the other day, and find Christian people 2 days ago. And I got there and I said, "Listen, y'all need to pray for me. We've prayed for these other things. Y'all need to pray for me. I've got blood pressure out the wazoo. Blood pressure running around 185 over 110 and just couldn't get it down." So they prayed for me right then on the phone. In an hour, Debbie said, "Have you checked your blood pressure yet?" And I said, "No, not since they prayed." I checked my blood pressure, and this is something that hadn't happened at all in a long time. My blood pressure was normal. And I said, "I see what it is. It's a spiritual battle. And it's the enemy coming against me. See, here's the thing about it. If the enemy can scare you into not doing something for God, he'll try everything in the book to scare you. He'll tell you, you just do that for God, and I'll get you, and I'll get you bad. I'll get your family. I'll get those that are close to you. I'll get your church members. I'll come after them. But it's something that we've got to remember. God said, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. This morning, got up, woke up, and just choking like I don't know what. God healed me from asthma years ago. But here I am with asthma this morning, and I can't breathe, and I'm in that coffin, and I've got phlegm in here and in here and in here. And I thought, my goodness, what else is the enemy going to come against me with? And then with that was weakness, too. My wife and I finally got cleared out, and it was right around lunchtime, and we went by Captain D's and ate lunch. And I told her this. I said, if I had my way, I would head back right now. Because just in battle, like I don't know what. Thinking I was going to choke to death this morning. You know? Satan is real. And I believe Satan sees the things that God wants to do through this series of meetings, through this conference. And he throws everything at us to discourage us and to keep us from pressing on in. You know, we need to press in regardless. But I didn't feel good. I came in this side door, and there's Sharon there, and also Brother Darren and his wife, Kelly, met me at the door. And they said, well, how about it? You excited about your talk? What you gave everything ready? I said, I have been attacked this morning. And they started praying for me. And as they prayed more and more, I started feeling better and better. Normally, I got a smile on my face, but I couldn't manufacture a smile last night when we got here. I couldn't manufacture a smile this morning. But their prayers broke that bondage on me. And that made me start being excited about being here and speaking to you today. Every one of us, if we'll look inwardly, God's question to us right now is, what are you going to do to bring and fill up the storehouses? They sure need filling up, don't they, Carlos? Kelly, here's what I've started doing. One person's coming in that in his ministry over 25,000 people have been healed. He was called into the healing ministry at 4 years old. He has died and gone to heaven four times. And he's coming to our church next Thursday night. So I go and put some information about it in our newspaper. And we're a small town, Lincolnton, Georgia. Small town. But the thing about it is this. I feel that God is leading us in a healing ministry on Thursday night. And I put it in the paper, put it on poster things in storefronts, to get the people involved and get them out. We've got a lot of sick people. And just stepping out to have someone to come in like this, you know, it's kind of like having an Oral Roberts come to Lincoln, Georgia. You know what? And there's needs, and I feel those needs. I'm moved by compassion. I've prayed for the sick, and I've seen cancer healed, and I've seen all sorts. I've seen in healing within me more times than once. Many, many times. Don't tell me healing's not for today. You know, I went by a friend of mine that I grew up in church with. I went by his store, and I took one of those for him to put in his window. He said, I'm excited about this. because he had asked me and quizzed me a few days before then. He and I grew up in church together, denominational church, a church that doesn't believe in healing, a church that's stuck in Calvinism. Calvinism is preaching that God's already picked who he's going to take to heaven with him. And if you're not one of them tough, you're not going. And I thought, you know, my Bible says, I'm not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the loving God that we got. Whosoever will, let him come and taste the river of life freely. Freely you have received, freely give. But you know, there are things in our world today that is choking out truth. God says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. How does truth come? Truth comes by the word. Truth comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. You know? But we're so, the world is so deceived today. Words that Jesus spoke. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And we get accused of excluding people because of what Jesus said in his word. Jesus didn't say there are many ways to heaven. Jesus can't lie. It's but one way, and that's Jesus. And you know, that's Satan and the demonic kingdom's tools right there, is to keep people from knowing the truth. If people really knew the truth, this fella had done started reading in the Word. He is a deacon in his church. And he told me, he said, I don't know what you think about a few things. I didn't ask him questions. He asked me questions. He said, I read the Word where it said that God told Adam that he would have dominion over the earth. You believe that? He named every animal that was. God's put us in a place of authority, and we rule and reign on earth according to the will of God.
Right.
You know? Now, Adam gave it back, but Jesus restored it and forever, forever took care of the problem. No longer is Satan ruling over this earth. You know? In Jesus' prayer, he said, Lord, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, who's going to carry out the will of God on this earth? We are. We've been given authority. We've been given dominion. And Jesus Christ has restored that with the perfect gift of his life. He literally bore our sin. He bore it on Calvary, and he took care of forever and ever the things that needed to be taken care of. Our sins were thrown as far as the east is from the west. It says in the New Testament, and God hath made him, Jesus, sin for us, who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. God looks at us and we're righteous. We're in right standing with God. Not because of something we've done, but because of something Jesus did. Jesus took care of it. Jesus' blood cleanses the vilest sin. And we've got to believe that. When we become a Christian, when we receive Jesus in our lives, then all of a sudden we've got God as our Father. We've got an inheritance that's out of this world. We've got so much more. Christians have so much more than we realize that we have. We've got authority in Jesus' name. But the thing about it is, the world doesn't know that. He said, it is exciting to know the authority that I have. My friend said that. He said, because most of it now is you're not only a few that's going to go to heaven, they're already handpicked by God, and there's no power whatsoever. And that's it. That's in the church I grew up in. I'm pastor of a church in the same community as where I grew up. They saw me growing up from a little lad all the way up to the old fellow that I am today. The truth is hid. But God, He's sufficient in what He gives us to carry out the gospel of Jesus Christ. There was a point last night, even as tired as I was, we've been battling gauges going off from our car the whole trip up here. It said our tires were going flat. I had to pull in and check the tires. Wasn't a problem. I had to do that several times three times, my wife says, because we didn't want to have a blowout on I-77 coming up. You know, it just seems like it was one thing after another after another. But the prayers of godly people, right when you walk in the door, you know, that's what ministry is about. You have the enemy start ganging up on you. Have some Christian friends. And not only have Christian friends, but be a Christian friend to where you're intelligent enough to locate who's being harassed by the enemy. You know, Satan wants to do, he's got a plan, and that's to divide and defeat. If he can ever get us divided over anything, he can defeat us. Jesus prayed, Lord, I pray that they may be one as you and I are one. There's power in unity. In the church that I'm in, I wish everybody in the church would be as hungry as some are. My heart longs for that. I get there and I see those that are excited. We got one that just his wife received baptism of the Holy Spirit. And she got all excited. Her husband had already received. He had been in jail on alcoholic charges and all like that, drug charges. She received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and they got excited. He started meeting God early in the day. Out in the open. He started fasting. He started hearing what it was like to hear the voice of God. And God was growing him up. You know, God gave him directions and told him, I want you to be involved and make a difference in this part of Georgia. And there have been, last week, we mailed out 540 invitations to churches in our geographical area to go and meet at a camp on November the 4th, and let's have a meeting, and let's have a revival, and let this thing get started. That's another way in which we're trying to do it. They had, 3 weeks ago, they had a truck bed meeting. And it's all designed to get us out of the four walls of the church. We're too much enjoying each other's presence between the walls of the church. And we're not getting out and making a difference in the world, a world of sin. The world needs Jesus like they've never needed Jesus before. Now, Jesus isn't just going to appear and preach and teach. We are the hands of Christ. We are the feet of Christ. We are the mouthpiece of Christ. We have ears to hear, spiritual ears to hear what the word of the Lord is for this moment and for this time and for whatever location we've been assigned to. I don't get up there and just ramble about a good story on Sunday morning. I spend time with the Lord And then when God shows up, when the Holy Spirit moves throughout the meeting, I can't take no praise for it. I didn't originate any of it. I have been obedient and I've listened and spoke what the Lord had to say. And when it all heaven breaks loose, I'm rejoicing and I say, look what the Lord has done. Because I want all praise, all honor, all glory to go to His name. Amen. And His alone. Because I'm nothing, but He's everything. I'm nothing in myself, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. God is our sufficiency. God is there to give the word that we need, to give the energy that we need, to stay the hand of Satan so that we can be going about doing His will. This same fellow asked me the other day. He's in a hardware store. And he said, I got to thinking about it. And he said, I have no desire to keep on in the sin nature in which I'm in. See, it gets to talking about you'll sin no more. See, here's the thing about it. When you come to Jesus, that sin nature's gone. Old things are passed away. All things become new. And if that's not happening, something's wrong somewhere. Because you want to change us when you receive Jesus. You know, I have people that say to me, and he also said to me, he said, there are some areas that I would fail. There are some areas that I enjoy. Okay, it's good, clean areas. And he said, where can that come between me and God? I said, it all comes to your priorities. We all set our priorities. And if we love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, if we put God number one regardless, and we keep Him in the number one position, these other things are not going to make God upset with us. If we put football ahead of God, yeah, thou shalt have no other gods. And that's God. You know, if we love other things more than we love God, then that's where the wrong comes in. He doesn't mind us having good, clean fun. He doesn't mind us having things that we enjoy doing. But he wants to be enjoyed by us, number one. He wants to bless us beyond measure. The blessings of the Lord want to chase down the righteous. He wants to do exceeding abundantly beyond whatever we think or ask. In my life, I've seen him work in areas where I thought I did not deserve as much as what He was giving me. And I said, I'm just good enough to get by, God. And He said, no, I got something better for you. You know, it's been that way in your lives too. If you would look at it, He's given above and beyond what you expected. You know, because God is love. He is our sufficiency. But when it comes to filling up the storehouses, I wanted to do something else there too. We done talked about the 540 people from the geographical location that's going to be invited, and then we're going to have someone else, not me, but someone else to preach. And hopefully that will start revival. Or the truck bed meeting to get us outside of the walls of the church. There's another one. There's a man that is 70 years old. 80, I'm sorry. He is 80, I stand corrected. 80 years old. All right, she's doing this because I put an Altoid in here, and those Altoids, they get over in the corner. Do they ever get in the corner of your mouth? No? You don't use them, do you? You don't use them, okay. But you know, if people see me foaming at the sides of my mouth, that's a good sign, you know? That means I'm passionate about what I'm doing, you know? And most of the time people see me sweating too. So that shows an effort, you know, putting forth an effort there too. But the thing about it is this. With that evangelist, the 80-year-old evangelist, he's going on two Thursday nights prior to the revival, which the revival is going to be on Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday morning prior to Thanksgiving. So it's in November, okay? But what he's going to be doing is this. This is a man that's 80 years old that looks like he's 50 years old, and he knows the tools of evangelism. Nancy was talking about the evangelist is being called to the forefront in this filling up the storehouses. And the Lord's been telling me that is to actually get an evangelist to teach for two different Thursday nights, have your meetings, have the people you've invited, and then follow up. Get in the neighborhood around you. I had Mark Blankenbeckler. You know Mark? You know Mark, yeah. Remember when he had his talk and all? He's talking about being a zero and not a hero. You were there too, Carlos, if I remember right. And the thing about it is this. Mark Blankenbeckler spoke in January in my church. I asked him to on a Sunday morning. And he says, you've got older people here, but I see them all with sneakers on going around in the community sharing Jesus and his love. Lord reminded me of that. So through this new acquaintance as an evangelist, we're going to learn how to do it. We're going to get out and do it because I want the harvest to be great, the harvest of souls. To be quite honest with you, I felt guilty after 2 years. Five more left. And here's the thing about it. The world as we know it today, it will never be the same again. I'm not saying that God would say, this is it. Jesus come back. I'm not saying anything like that, but I've heard Nancy talking about God said, the world as we know it today would never be the same. If we have information enough, we'd have our stomachs turned by how the world is today. If we're just hanging around with Christians, we're not getting the full report. The world is horrible. Satan-led world is horrible, and they're trying to take control. The demonic kingdom is horrible. And they're trying to take control. There's only way, one way to truly have heaven on earth. During the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, when he's in charge, and he's over there in Jerusalem, and he's government's on his shoulders, we're going to see the world here, the earth, the way God intended the earth and the way God intended government to function under Jesus. And not until then. I'd love to see it before then, but that's when we're going to see it. It's going to be wonderful. And listen, we're going to be ruling and reigning with Christ. We're going to have geographical territories that we're going to be responsible for. So what we really need to do now is be in training to see how to work, how to rule with authority under God's lordship, under the lordship of Jesus Christ, the way that God wants it done, not the way that the world wants it done. And so much politics and politics, you know, that's where America was set up. But politics can stink to high heaven. You know? Racism can stink to high heaven. I got people that not the color that I am, but yet they're my brothers and sisters. I'm going to spend eternity with them, and I should be closer to them than I am to my own blood relatives, with no splits whatsoever. Doesn't matter the color of the skin. God created them, and that's enough. God created me. That should be enough for them, you know? Brothers and sisters in Christ. Live forever together because we got Jesus in our heart. We receive Jesus into our lives. Oh, what a better world it would be if everybody operated under the lordship of Jesus Christ. See, God created us with a purpose and a plan. And there are people, the people that have not received Christ in their life, God can't be sufficient for them. And it's jobs that are not being done by the perfect will of God because that person never has received Christ into their lives. There's a lot of gaps. There's a lot that God has designed that's not getting done because it can't get done until people receive Jesus and make him Lord of their lives. Paul did it like this. He said, and Nancy mentioned this last night, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. You know, oh, not matter what side we're working on and that we're operating on. And if we're called on into heaven, praise God for the blood of Jesus Christ that's got us a ticket to heaven, you know. But if he's not through with us yet, operate, speak, turn the world upside down by giving the words that God has given. And make a difference in the world that's around us. I'm trying. I'm trying to fill the storehouses around Lincoln and Georgia. Nancy's already talked about this area. This area in here, West Virginia and Ohio. How God's moving, how God's preparing. Okay? Georgia, South Carolina. God's moving, God's preparing. It's a fertile area in the central Savannah River area around Augusta. It's a fertile area. God's moving there. That's why God's using Nancy and has for years. She's there tilling the soil. She's here tilling the soil. She's in Alaska tilling the soil and being obedient in everything that she does. See, we can be lied to pretty easy. Satan can tell us one person can't make no difference in this world. What difference do you think you're going to make? You're just one person. Jesus just had 12 following him around, and they turned the world upside down. There's people that know them by name and that knows their exploits by name. 12 people among millions of people during life here on this earth. I want to be right in the middle of filling up storehouses. I want to be right in the middle. One day I want God to say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the place which I prepared for you. Because they're always thinking about us. Jesus, God. You know, Jesus, when he left, he said, I go, what? To prepare a place for you. And I'll come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there ye may be also. That's what makes heaven heaven. Jesus is there. I tell you what, Jesus could be anywhere, and that's what would make it heaven. Jesus is just that precious. And he has reconciled. God used a human being, to reconcile us to him. See, first Adam, the first human being, fumbled the ball. You know? But Jesus did it right. Fully man, but fully God. To restore what the enemy had taken forever. It's not a battle to be won. The war's already over. We have little battles as we go along, but the war's been won. It's been won. Do I make a difference in this world? Yes, you do. You wouldn't believe the difference you make in this world. Those came and prayed for me today. Boy, they made a difference in this talk today. And I'm just being honest because as a minister of the gospel, I try to be honest. I try not to put up a front. I try not to smile when my heart is weeping. I try to do that. I want to be able to, when I get into the pulpit, I can be honest. I can say, I know what your life is like, and here's what it's like for ministers, for pastors that's out there. I've got greetings to each one of you from Michael and Michelle. We were really blessed. They hated they could not come here. We were blessed in Ketchikan. I mean, really blessed. And I really got to know them. We stayed in the same place there. We just found out just how precious they are. And I just talked to Michael just a couple of days ago. He called me up. And he said, tell them that the Georgia connection, we wasn't able to make it to this conference, but our hearts are there with you, and we're praying for you. And I told him, I said, I assure you, I will tell everyone. In a ministry in which God's right in the middle of, love abounds. Love abounds. Love abounds in this ministry. You know, have you really noticed how God has put like-minded and like-heart people together in this ministry? It's genuine. It's not a group of people that's trying to one-up somebody else, get attention, get a hand clap, but it's people who are generally, they have the servant heart of the leader, of Nancy, a servant's heart. And I know, we probably wouldn't be here today if they didn't exemplify the love of Christ. We probably wouldn't be here today and spend our time listening to anybody or any of them if they weren't true in everything that they do. Is that singing? Wow. I hear it. I love to sing. You love to dance. That is good, whatever it is. They enjoy themselves too.